Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hi there, welcome to the latest edition of Clan Chat, bringing you news and interviews from around the Glasgow clan. I'm Craig Anderson, and in this week's show we've got some great interviews to help you while away the time for whatever it is you're doing. Solway Sharks coach Martin Grubb joins us to talk about youngsters Liam Stenton, Rory Lockerby and Scott Henderson and what they're getting from working with the clan this season. Chad Rowe takes us on a worldwide trip, leading us by the hand through his journey in ice hockey, taking in Minnesota, China and a place in Russia I can't pronounce. Plus the latest addition to the Matt Haywood testimonial roster, and one that got you all very excited. Jordan Krstanovic is here to look ahead to his return to Scotland, the first time he'll be back here in 7 years. We've even got a clan conundrum as well. You're listening to Clan Chat.
Hey, Purple Army, Fitzy here. Welcome to the podcast. Enjoy.
As always, it's time for the Clan Conundrum, and the Guildford Flames are the opposition for the Glasgow Clan at Brayhead Arena on Saturday night. Face-off is at 7pm. One player who may play is Travis Fullerton, who was a netminder for the Clan back in 2016, and last season for the Flames made 5 shutouts last season, 3 of which were against the Glasgow Clan. I want to know who the other 2 teams were that he recorded shutouts against. Which other teams did Travis Fullerton record blanks against other than the Glasgow Clan? There was 2 teams. Answer to come at the end of the show.
I'm Matt Stanish and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Time to recap the action from the weekend, and we started in Fife on Saturday, where Clan had the chance to add to their 4 straight wins over the Kirkcaldy men, but it wasn't to be in this occasion as Flyers took a 6-4 result. Glasgow got the better start of the 2 teams when Jordan Haywood and Nolan Laporte put them 2 up in the first 12 minutes, but by the end of the period, 2 from Tim Crowder and 1 from Mike Cazola had the home side 3-2 ahead. Clan levelled through Rasmus Bjerrum, however the Flyers pushed on with Cazola getting his second of the night, then captain James Livingston making it 5-3. Matt Pufall reduced the arrears before the second interval. The game was settled with 4 minutes to go as former Clan D-man Scott Arson scored on the power play, and it was enough for the home fans to enjoy a well-earned victory at the expense of their rivals. Clan returned home on Sunday as Sheffield Steelers made their first visit to Glasgow of the season in a top-of-the-table clash. It was a good night for the Clan as they reopened their 3-point lead at the summit of the Elite League with an 8-5 success over Aaron Fox's side and their 6th consecutive win over the Steelers. Like Saturday's game, both teams shared 5 goals in the first period as Jack Musel with his first of the season and Scott Pitt put Clan 2 up before Robert Dowd pulled 1 back. Chad Rowe made it 3-1, but Sheffield picked up a second through former Clan forward Brendan Connolly. Anthony De Luca levelled early in the second, but Glasgow barged into a 6-3 lead as Travis Earhart, Rasmus Bjerrum and Mika Lidhammer all registered markers. Pitt's second of the game made it 7-3, and although there were signs of a comeback as Nikolai Lemchugov and Lucas Sandstrom both scored, Bjerrum's empty net finish confirmed the points, which came after an incident involving Lyndon Springer and Connolly. It was 4-point nights for both Pitt with 2-2 and Matt Becker with 4 assists, so it was only right that I grabbed Scott Pekka for a post-game chat.
Yeah, that was a huge bounce-back game for us after going down to Fife there. I love how this team, when we lose, we come back the next day, we forget about it, and we find a way to win against big teams too, so it was a big win for us.
Bex, is even more special the fact you've done it without Mathieu Roy, Craig Peacock and Scott Tansky tonight?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we knew coming into this when we were going to be pretty shorthanded, and you know, everyone's going to get a lot of ice time, so it was good. You know, we showed a lot of character and, showed we can win with short numbers, so there's no excuses around here.
The thing that gets me about this team is even in a situation when it went to 3-3, you guys didn't panic, you kept your head and kicked on from there.
Yeah, I feel like we've been doing that all year. We let a couple goals in, we don't let it phase us really. We just come back harder and refocus and try and claw back in whatever situation we're in. So.
Certainly it caps off a nice weekend as well, beating the Steelers, a 3-point lead back at the top of the table again.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge, obviously. You know, we want to be as good as we can here at home, and especially with the way the standings look right now, it was a huge 2 points, and you know, we're happy we got him.
Got a bit feisty at the end there, a couple of guys involved, but it gets to frustration showing like that. How does that put you off in any way?
I mean, it's part of the game, and we just got to deal with it. You don't always get the calls you want, but I mean, I thought we handled it pretty well, and we kind of refocused and finished the job. So.
And rolling on again, Dundee next week, and then Guildford back here next Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, we got to switch gears a little here, back to Challenge Cup. So, you know, we get ready this week for a big game there, and then back here against Guildford, and hopefully keep it going.
Well done, guys. Thanks very much.
Thanks. Thank you.
I'm Matt Cowlett, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Matt Becker and Scott Pitt, a.k.a. Scott Picker, after Sunday's win over Sheffield Steelers. This season, with Clan having carried injuries to one person or another, the club have been able to call upon the addition of three players who have come up from Dumfries' side, Solway Sharks, who play in the NIHL North 1. Liam Stenton, Rory Lockerbie and Scott Henderson have featured in certain games, and all three have taken their chance as well when working with the Elite League players. They've also been training with the Clan team throughout the week as well, so are benefiting greatly from being around and working with coach Zach Fitzgerald and his players. But there's been a partnership between the Clan and the Sharks for a few years now, and we've seen a few players who have played for both sides down the years, including Barry McKenzie and Gary Russell. I had a chat with Solway Sharks coach Martin Grubb earlier this week about the lads, but I asked him what benefits there are for him at the Sharks.
Yeah, no, it's massively beneficial for us. We've obviously worked with a number of coaches, and I think we've always had a good understanding, and we set everything up in the pre-season normally with Gareth, and then Peter got involved in a big way last year, and then this year obviously Zach's got involved and probably used the guys a lot more than they've been used in the past few years. Obviously injuries hamper the Clan's lineup, and the kids have done so well over the last couple of years that they're ready to step in. And you know, for us, the fact that they can train there, and the three of them are training there twice a week, I think, at the moment. They're getting some game time, and they come back to us and they set the standard. We ask them to train with us as if they were training, obviously, with that Elite League level. And, you know, it just lets our whole club and our whole pathway for even the youngest kids in our club see that there is an achievable route to the Elite League. Obviously, they're now able to see it on the TV. So, you know, like, it's hugely beneficial to our club.
Tell us about the relationships you've had with the Clan coaches up to Zach Fitzgerald at this point. This relationship between the two clubs has been ongoing for quite some time now.
Yeah, I mean, probably got going. I mean, we spoke to Finner a few times when he was there, and then it probably kicked in a lot more with Pete last year, because obviously Pete and I are friends anyway, and we've worked together with Great Britain. And Pete was constantly checking up on the boys, and he would be constantly asking them and how they were doing here, and he would give feedback on how they were doing up there. And he took a genuine interest in the development of the British player at our club. Obviously, had the pre-season, the first day of pre-season for the Clan last year was down here, and between Pete and Zach himself, they kind of led an on-ice session with our junior kids, which set the relationship off in a good light. This year, when Pete came over to play, pre-season, I came up, watched the game, met both him and Fitzy at that stage. It's the first time I'd properly met Zach, so you know, we hit it off pretty early, but we're both honest with each other. I really like the way that, you know, he's continued to say these things, that the British player and the young British player is important to him, and he wanted to give them an opportunity to see what it would be like around the Elite League level and professional hockey level. And you know, we've both had the same message to the young players, where it is exactly that. It's an opportunity. We're willing to give them an opportunity. Both clubs are willing to work together. And you know, certainly Zach and I are probably on text or phone to each other at least once, maybe twice a week, just to keep things ticking over. And so I think it's definitely progressing. Gareth's obviously the guy that started this between him and I and both clubs, and he's in the background and always there to give advice and help. So it's definitely improving, and over the last couple of years it's went from strength to strength.
Now, you've just given an idea of how important that communication is between yourself, Gareth's in the loop as well as Zach Fitzgerald as well. How do you divvy the players' time up between training's one thing, obviously, but when it comes to game time, for example, I take it you get first dibs on the player if you've got a game, for example, or do you try and work with an understanding?
Yeah, I mean, generally, they're obviously, it sounds really bad, but they're our players, if you like, and then obviously we need them to an extent to try and be successful with our games. But what Zach and I have always done is he'll always let me know in advance if he's going to need them. He's always said that he would only take them if they're going to play and play some minutes, which to this day has been brilliant for them because they have played. They've never once come back saying, you know, like, I just sat on the bench. They've always had a role to play for the clan. So what we generally try and do is, if I can give them up, I've always said that the highest level possible for them to play is the most beneficial. So with the greatest respect to some of the teams we've been playing this year, some of these games are a little bit easier than others, and we can bleed some of our young players down here. So if I can give them up, we certainly try. Obviously, the more meaningful and tougher games, more in the NIHL, and then against the Racers so far, you kind of have to make sure that we've got our strongest team, and Zach obviously understands that as well. So, as you say, the communication is key. We do try our best to come to a mutually beneficial arrangement. And obviously then the midweek games are even better because they can jump in there without any disruption to what they're doing down here. But, I mean, it's been pretty good. And as I say, ultimately, if we can get them playing at that higher level when needed, then that's what it's all about for these boys.
Yeah, of course, we're talking about three of your players, Liam Stenton, Rory Lockerbie and Scott Henderson. They've featured for the clan quite regularly this season. How much have they enjoyed the Elite League experience they've been getting so far?
Oh, I mean, they love it. They absolutely love it. I think, you know, the biggest credit I can give the clan organisation as a whole, and it was led by Zach and Gareth at the top, but certainly Zach was, when they went, especially Rory and Liam, when they stepped on the ice in that pre-season series against Freiburg, they were treated as if they were a full-time member of that team. They had jerseys, they were part of the auction, they got to keep their jersey at the end, and they just came back and they were on cloud nine because, you know, they were treated like professional players, and the level's obviously a lot higher. They're learning, the players in that dressing room look after them. We then were able to get Scott into the mix because he had been unavailable for a few weeks, and then Zach obviously liked what he's seen, and he's played the odd game and practice before that, so we knew he was a big body, and he's the same. He comes back, and I just think that's the key for them is obviously the level. The level's it's off the scale for them compared to what they're used to, but they just love the fact that they are treated so well. They are treated just like every other player. They're getting opportunities to get on the ice and play with these big name players that are, you know, that are seasoned pros and that are making a living in that elite league. And, you know, I can't give, especially Fitz, you know, I can't give him enough credit for the way that he treats these players and teaches them and I say communicates with me. So for the three of them, I absolutely love it, Craig.
Now, Paul Adie was on the show last week and he was talking about how players like Matt Cowlett, Jack Musil, and he mentioned Scott Henderson as well, seem to be getting the benefit of working closely with Zach Fitzgerald. Scott, of course, played in the game, it was on TV last week against the Cardiff Devils as well. What will that do for his kind of confidence, you know, when he hears someone like Paul Adie talking so highly about him and the work that's been done with him?
Oh, I mean, it's obviously great for Scott, as you say, for his confidence. And you know, I think it's just an acknowledgement of the work that he's put in, and it's an acknowledgement of the partnership and the affiliation that's there between the clubs. It's an acknowledgement to Zach himself and taking these young players in. I mean, we had Mac down here for a game last year when Pete was there, and just literally get his legs going, and within a couple of weeks of that, he then went on to kind of kickstart his clan career, if you want to put it that way, and obviously he's kicked on and doing really well this year, so. You know, for Scott personally, I think it just proves that if he works hard enough, he's going to get the recognition. When you get the recognition and you work hard, then you know you're happy at what you do. He knows as a club that from our side of things that we're going to give him the opportunity as much as we can to go up there and keep working with both Zach and the clan players. And you know, I think it's huge, just like you say, that especially when you're on Free Sports, you're live on the TV against a team like Cardiff, there's a lot of people tuning in. I thought he'd done really well in the game, and it's nice for him to be recognised.
Being mindful of the fact you've got a team full of other players that you work with, how highly do you rate the three players that, Clan have used this year? How far can they go in the game, do you think?
Oh, I think all three have got a real chance. I mean, they're three different players. I think people have seen that, you know, Scott's a big body. He skates well. He can be physical when he needs to be. He can shoot the puck. And he's probably, I mean, he's a little bit older than Rory and Liam, but he's probably set up to be a good British Elite League forward, given some time. I think Liam for me, he's got a really good chance. He's got a great head on his shoulders. He skates so well. He's very versatile in the fact that he is a defenceman, but he can play forward. I mean, he's the kind of kid that he's a coach's dream, where he just does whatever you ask him. And for me, he's probably one, if not the best defenceman at his age group in this country. So he's got a real chance. Rory, a little bit different to both of them, where he's very, very skillful, reads the game well. I think the only thing that Rory he knows himself and he's working on a lot is he just needs to keep working on that strength, because he's a little bit lighter, but you know, I think he's got a little bit different. He can be a game, especially at our level at the moment, he can be a game changer. And I see Rory very much probably in the mould of Mac, where I've worked with Mac at junior levels at Great Britain, and he was very similar. Bit lighter, very skillful, good skater, and turned himself into a good Elite League player so far. So I see Rory in that mould, and I think the three of them have definitely got a real opportunity. And we keep this partnership going, they keep seizing the opportunity that they're getting for the ice time in these games and to impress. And you know, I guess it's really ultimately up to them how far they want to go, but I know all three of them have got real ambitions to try and make a career in the game.
So for anyone interested, tell us how the season has been going for Solway so far and the results you've been getting. By the look of it, it's been quite good for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's been very good so far. We lost 13 players in the summer, and there was a lot of talk of how do you replace these players and are we going to be as successful as we have been in the past. And my philosophy was to go and replace a lot of these guys with young, hungry hockey players that wanted to make a name for themselves and that we could progress. And so far, we've been really good. We're unbeaten in Scotland. We're unbeaten in the Cup. Unfortunately, on Saturday, we lost our first game of the season, which I think we played 22 games without a defeat. But then we got straight back onto the kind of winning train on Sunday and managed to win there. So far, really pleased with the players' attitudes, really pleased with the group we've got. And I think we've got a lot of potential down here.
And I can't let you go without asking about one other player that links the two clubs. You've got him back, of course, Gary Russell, the netminder, spent 4 years at the Clan. How's he getting on and how good is it to have him back?
I mean, the confidence that Rusty gives us is unbelievable at this level. Obviously, I knew when he moved to what was Brayhead at that time and up to Glasgow, it was almost a dream move for him, a local boy. He was more than capable of playing at that level, and it was great to see him. It's always tied the clubs up, and it was great to see him grab his chance when he always got it up there. But having him back for us is massive for our confidence. It's massive for the other goalies we've got, because they've learned so much from him. His communication is key, and obviously his ability to stop the puck and play the puck for us has been great. So I think he's enjoying playing the game and knowing that he's going to get some ice time, and that he's obviously a key part of our team, and he's been very, very key certainly in the big game so far to make sure we're winning the games that we want to win. So it's nice to see him back. It's nice to see him with a smile on his face. And I think he loves the fact that he's still training up there with the Clan, and he still has a link between the two teams. So, no, he's definitely a big player. And for me, in our league, he's the best goaltender in the league. So we're delighted he's on our team.
I'm Scott Jansky from the Glasgow Clan, and you're listening to the Clan Chat.
Solway coach Martin Grubb talking to us about Liam Stenton, Rory Lockerbie and Scott Henderson and the partnership between the Clan and the Sharks. Let's catch up with one of our own players now, and earlier this week I persuaded Chad Rowe to sit down and take us through his life and career in ice hockey. Rowe, one of Clan's alternate captains, has had quite a varied career, going from Des Moines to Houston to Minnesota, then on to Austria, Finland, China, Russia, Slovakia, then here to Scotland. I also managed to get him to reveal who the better player is between him and his brother Kyle, an NHLer with Minnesota Wild, now playing in the NHL with the Iowa affiliate. But I started by asking Chad if he could remember how he was introduced to ice hockey.
Yeah, well, I guess not exactly, but it was a long time ago. I just remember being watching my older brother play, and I always wanted to do what he was doing. So I think, like I said, 3 years old, and started trying to copy him, and he's been playing ever since.
So when did you discover you were quite good at it, and who was the coach that put you on the right path?
My dad coached, was one of my coaches when I was little, and that helped a lot. And I was playing in my brother's team growing up, so I kind of always got to play against the older kids. And I've just always liked it and had a passion for it. And I remember when my dad decided it was time for him to stop coaching, I was still young, but it was tough for me to not have him there anymore. But, it was probably the best thing for me going forward.
Now, you started at Eden Prairie High, then on to Des Moines Buccaneers. How hard was it at times to really establish yourself and make yourself stand out at such an early age?
Going to Des Moines, that was a tough decision for me to make. Obviously, it was one that was put me out of my comfort zone a little bit, having to leave my senior year of high school. But in the end, it ended up being a really good career choice for me, just making me more prepared, playing more games, and getting ready for the next level, playing college. So looking back, I don't think I'd change that, although I had to make some sacrifices then, but I think it paid off in the end.
That's what it's all about, isn't it? You get to a point in your life where you need to make a decision. Do you keep it going? Do you not keep it going? Was it an easy decision for you?
No, it wasn't. It was tough because my friends who had been growing up playing with my whole career, kind of till then, wanted me to stay, and I knew me leaving was going to affect them as well. So you got to kind of weigh all that into the decision. So it was something I remember. It took a lot of time for me to take and make. And my parents, were pretty helpful and showing me the pros and cons, to each, and let me take my time making the decision. And ultimately, it kind of came down to I had always wanted to start my university career as a true freshman. I didn't want to, kind of take a year off and then go do my studies after that. So to me, it was important for me to go in as an 18-year-old and start doing that, because I always knew I wanted to keep playing after college. But in order for me to do that, I knew that was the right choice for me to make, just getting that extra experience. And like I said, playing that many games, I think I played 70-something games that year, as opposed to, I think the high school schedule is only 25. So as far as career-wise and getting that experience, it was huge for me.
Now, you had 4 years at Colorado College in the NCAA, starting in 2005. And I noticed that you were picked in the first All-Star team twice in that time. How much did you learn as a player during that time? How much did that bring you on?
No, I thought they were great 4 years. Like I said, being able to come in and play as a freshman, I was able to play some meaningful minutes right away. And I think that was a credit, to what I'd done to prepare the season before and to give myself an opportunity to do that. So, the coach had a lot of faith in me early on, and maybe not early my freshman year, but I kind of noticed it the second half of my freshman year. And so I was getting to play some important minutes, and it just kind of, he kept on having more trust in me going forward. So I think that was a huge, huge part of my development, as well as getting to play versus those big teams in college. There's, some big rivalries, a lot of good players that you're playing against, and I think it's important to be able to play in all of those kind of key situations. And, when you have a coach that allows you to do that, I think that's huge for your development on the ice as well.
So it was into the pros in 2009. You went into the AHL with Houston Aeros. As a young player keen to forge a path into the NHL, presumably, can you describe how big an opportunity that was for you?
Yeah, that was a great opportunity for me. It kind of came about in a little bit of a roundabout way. I wasn't sure what I was going to be doing after I graduated my college. The Toronto Maple Leafs had my rights, and I wasn't signed with them. They were kind of in between GMs, and the GM that they had brought on, Brian Burke, he likes bigger, more physical players than the way I played. So I kind of knew that, that wasn't going to be a future for me to play there. And so I kind of just waited until I was able to talk to other teams. And fortunately, Minnesota had an injury, so they were looking for a player to come in and fill a spot, and they invited me to their rookie tournament in Traverse City, and that was a great opportunity for me, and ended up playing well there, and from there earned an invite to go try out for Houston Aeros at their AHL tryout camp, and ended up making the team and sticking around. So it was an important year for me to get my foot in the door, and they liked me and ended up bring me back on for two more years on another contract, and so it was a great opportunity and really have a lot of positive things to say about my experience there and just my development down there as well, just kind of learning the professional game, which is obviously quite different from the college game. So I'm very grateful for that experience.
With the Aeros, you reached the Calder Cup final in your second season, but ultimately you lost out in the end. But can you tell us what it was like to be involved in such a big occasion like that?
Yeah, absolutely. And even as I reflect now, that's still like one of the most fun years I can think of playing professionally, and just playing those games, the playoff games like that, where every play matters. Every kind of decision you make has a huge impact on the game. You learn a lot from that, and I think that taught me a lot about how to play responsibly. And I think it had a tremendous impact on my career as well, just being able to learn how to play at both ends of the ice. I think that gave me a bigger understanding of the game, and allowed me to get the opportunity to get called up a couple of years later down the road. But I definitely think that had a lot to do with that opportunity that I was able to get later.
And speaking of later, your big chance in the NHL with Minnesota Wild, January 2012, and you made your debut in a game against the Dallas Stars. Can you remember what it was like to get the call?
It was pretty incredible, actually. Fortunately, before that game, I had gotten another call from them. We were in Abbotsford, Canada, and I got the call to go up to Vancouver, and this was the first time I got the call. And I ended up not playing that game, but I was able to partake in pregame warm-ups, and I was kind of a game-time decision depending on whether or not another player could play or not. But I remember just my head was spinning for that. But I got to watch the game from the press box, and there was like, I think, two or three other players that I had been playing with regularly down in Houston that were playing in that game. So for me to be able to watch them from the press box and see them go out there and have success and do well, I think made it a lot easier for me and made me more comfortable with the whole thought. So when I ended up getting the call that you're alluding to earlier, it made it a lot easier. I felt a lot more comfortable just kind of with the trial run that I had before.
And of course, you got a goal as well. You got two goals in actual fact, but tell us about the first goal, which I think, if my information's right, was against the Boston Bruins. What was that like?
So that was actually the second goal. My first goal was versus the Dallas Stars.
Oh, got it all the way around.
No, that's all right. I remember, I was playing on the fourth line with two other players that I had played with down in Houston, but we'd never played on the same line together. So we were kind of, throwing a line together. But just the familiarity with them helped a lot. So we're comfortable playing with each other, although we weren't playing a ton, but we were playing safe. We were doing everything the right way. And I remember one of my line mates kind of rimmed the puck in behind the net, and then my other winger went and forechecked, got the puck, and I was able to skate on the net and get it and take it to the net, and was fortunate to score. But before that game, when I got the call up, one of my coaches in Houston, John Torchetti, had told me, he said, he goes, make sure if you get the chance, take the puck to the net. It's easier than you think, and kind of encouraged me to do that. So I give him, a lot of credit and, appreciate his advice before that happened, because I think that had a lot to do with my success in that game. And after scoring, it was I didn't know what to do. I was so excited because it's in my hometown, but it was a ton of fun. It, it was an exciting game to be a part of, and you know, something I'll obviously always remember.
Now, you only played a handful of games at NHL level. Do you have any regrets that for whatever reason you never got the chance to add to that?
Obviously, yeah, it'd be nice to have played more, but you know, I'm grateful for the opportunities I did have. You know, it's tough to, you know, tough for guys to get called up, and you know that, you know, you want to do so well and make an impact and obviously stay, but you know, there's a, you know, a lot of factors that kind of go into that, and I guess you just want to try and play the best you can, and just be kind of be grateful for the experience.
Now, your brother Kyle plays for the Iowa Wild in the AHL, but he has played in the NHL too. And you had two other brothers who played. I think you mentioned one of them earlier on. So how competitive was it in your house when you were younger?
It was pretty competitive. But, you know, growing up, there's a six-year age gap between me and my younger brothers, who are twins. And so, you know, it wasn't until they got a little older that it really kind of became competitive. But we had a lot of fun. You know, we had some good roller hockey games. You know, we'd play in the backyard and everything like that. So it was... we enjoyed each other's company.
And of course, with Kyle playing at a reasonably, well, as high a level as he does, do you ever get to watch him online? Do you ever get the chance to sit down and see how he's getting on?
Yeah, I try to. It's tough with the time change, but yeah, I'll always check up on him and, you know, follow scores and, you know, try and chat with him here and there when our schedules coordinate. But whenever, you know, my season's over, you know, since playing over in Europe, the seasons have been, they finished a little earlier than back in North America, so whenever I get home, I like to try and catch a few of his games and, you know, just go support him, because he's been supporting me for, you know, my whole career too, so it's been fun.
So which of the two of you are better then? Go on, be honest.
You know, I hope he is. I hope he is. So, no, he's an exciting player. He's a little smaller than me, but He's quick. He can he's skating around. He's pretty smart, and he's a little more physical player than I am too. So when he does hit guys, it's fun to see, because you know, no one expects it out of him, but he somehow generates so much power from his legs that he catches guys off guard.
I read an interview from 7 years ago, and I think it was an interview with the two of you, and he said that he called you up for advice as he made his own way in the game. Does he still do that from time to time, or is it because he's a bit more experienced now, he maybe tends not to as much?
You know, certain things he will. I mean, not as much as he used to. I think he's learned a lot throughout his career. He's obviously had a very successful career. And he's a smart. He's always been a student of the game, so he tries to just learn as much as he can. I think if he's frustrated or something, maybe he'll talk to me about that, but... Other than that, I mean, he's been doing something right to get where he's at, that's for sure.
Now, you played a few more years in the AHL before deciding in 2014 that Europe would be your next move, and you joined Linz in Austria for the first part of that first season. What was your reason for coming to Europe in the first place?
You know, I always knew I wanted to come, and you know, to come over to Europe and play, I guess. For that year, it was kind of caught me, not caught me by surprise, but I guess I was thinking I was going to play one more year in North America before that. But then, you know, the opportunity came, and I really didn't know a whole lot about European hockey at that point in my career, which is a shame, but I was excited. I heard a lot of good things from, you know, past players who had played over in Austria. They had nothing but good things to say about living there, and it seemed like a pretty good transition for me to come from North America over to Europe my first year.
Yeah, and of course from Linz, you went on to Finland to play for Saipa. So how enjoyable an experience was that in Finland compared to Austria?
I really enjoyed playing in Finland. Just the style of play was more conducive to the way I play, if that makes sense. But just it was more of a North American style, kind of like this league is, but going from Austria to there, I think that was a really good move for me, just because it is a little more physical. Guys are finishing checks, which I've been used to, and kind of the ice opens up a little bit more that way, I think. But yeah, I enjoyed it, and I was fortunate to play with some good players there, and we were on a good team, and you know, ended up surprising a lot of teams there as well with the success we had. So it was a great experience there, and really enjoyed that I was able to play there.
Then it was the beginning of a three-year odyssey in the KHL, starting in 2016. You're laughing. You moved to China to join Kunlun Star. How did the move to China come about? That must have been quite fascinating for you, a whole different culture entirely at that point.
Yeah, it was. It was a great opportunity to go play there. And, you know, my agent called me, and the new coach of the team, obviously it was the first year the team was in the league there, so no one knew too much about it. But my agent called me and, you know, said that the coach had seen me play when I was in Finland and, you know, wanted me to come. So I was... it seemed like a good fit for me. Obviously, with it being a new team, there's kind of a lot of growing pains that the team went through that year, just on every level you could probably think of. We played half the season was in Beijing, and we played half the season in Shanghai. And, you know, we were trying to sort out kind of the travel and everything like that. But it was a lot of fun. And the whole team, everyone was in the same, you know, was in the same boat, and kind of going through everything together, so we ended up making the best out of an interesting situation, to say. But we had fun, and I think our last game of the year we squeaked into playoffs, which was huge for the whole organization, and trying to get hockey to catch on in China to prepare for the Olympics coming up. But so it's fun to be a part of.
Now, we spoke about this when you first signed for the Clan, and I asked you about your longest road trip, your longest away journey, and I think it was with Kunlun Star you were playing with at the time. Remind us what that was again.
Yeah, I forget. There was a lot of them. We would be, you know, we'd be flying. You'd get a good sleep, and you'd wake up. You'd still have a couple hours, and, you know, stop for a fuel, and then we'd be going on another journey. But for the most part, they did a decent job of trying to lump the travel with the games together. So you'd play, you know, three or four on the road if you're going on a long one, and then you'd be home for three or four games. But yeah, it was, there's a lot of travel, a lot of customs that you're going through. And, but it was a neat experience. So you get to see a lot of the world, that's for sure.
Your body clock must have been all over the place with, you know, traveling through all the different time zones.
Yeah, it was. You'd be sleeping a lot of different hours, that's for sure. Wow.
So what was it like to be in the KHL All-Star team? You get called up for that when you were playing in China. Tell us about that experience.
That was a lot of fun. There's a lot of good players, and they did a really good job with it. They put on a pretty good show for the fans. They take it very seriously, and it almost seemed like they try and do similar events to the NHL, but they are still unique and try and make it their own. But it was a lot of fun. I was, you know, fortunate to have like five or six of my good friends that I played with kind of growing up that were also playing there. So we got to go to a nice dinner and just enjoy each other's time because we don't get to see each other as much anymore. So that was a lot of fun. And my team ended up actually winning the All-Star event that year for the 3-on-3 game, so that was pretty cool too.
Excellent. Now your KHL experience continued. You played for two teams in Russia, and then Slovan Bratislava last year. Now the two Russian teams, the second one was Avangard Omsk. I've tried the name of the first team. I cannot for the life of me get the pronunciation right. Let's see if you can remember it. What was the name of the team you played for? The Russian team?
Yeah, Nizhnikamsk.
There you go. See, yeah, I get nowhere near that. But yeah, looking back, how do you sum up the whole 3 years playing in China, playing in Bratislava and Russia? How do you sum that up?
Yeah, it was good. It was, you know, a lot of fun being able to travel and live in different places, you know, and getting to see different teams and what it's like. Obviously, the Russian teams, I don't know if you've heard much about them, but some of the training regiments are a little different than what I'd been used to, so it was kind of cool to experience that and see what you know each team was doing, and it was a lot of fun. Like they take the hockey very seriously there, and there's the fan support was great as well. So I enjoyed getting the opportunity to play in those cities and just embrace myself and the culture.
So finally, it was a move to the Clan, and you've settled right in here. How are you enjoying the experience of playing in the UK so far?
I'm enjoying it. It honestly feels like I'm playing in North America right now. It's nice not having a language barrier, and the people are friendly, and my family really loves the city here, and so yeah, we've really been enjoying it.
So let's look ahead to this week, and we start in Dundee on Friday against the Stars in the Challenge Cup quarter final, first leg, and it's a venue the Clan haven't won in this season. So what would it mean to get a result there?
I think it'd be great to get the start off the Challenge Cup on a good foot, and I think we've played them well lately. So, I think it's important for us to get a good start and just to maintain that and really, really limit some of the chances we take, because we know how they like to play. They like to jump on our turnovers, and they've been very successful with that approach. So I think both teams are familiar with each other at this point. So hopefully we can, come in with a good plan and be ready for them, get off to a good start.
And of course, back home on Saturday, you play the Guildford Flames, and you lost there in overtime a few weeks ago. Can you expect another really tight affair against them?
Yeah, I thought, it was a tight game versus them. It was, kind of a little bit of a challenge for us coming off the bus that long of a distance. Or, maybe not for everyone else, but for me, I noticed that. So, I'm not sure where they're playing before, but if they're home, where they're playing before that, but we'll see. It's important to kind of use the home ice advantage when you can, and in that kind of game as well, you'd like to get off to a good start. And, I think we've been doing that lately, so it's hopefully that continues.
And just in general, the league has been quite strange this year. Everybody's beating everybody else, and it seems like it could take one team to go on a real consistent run that could make a difference. Can it be Clan?
It could be. I think we've shown we've played well so far. We've been short bodies as well, so it'd be nice to get some guys healthy, I think. I think it would help us out in the long run. It's tough playing with a short lineup, but we've managed to do well given the situation. So you can't really make any excuses. You just got to go out and play and do your best every night. And I think we've been doing a good job with that.
Hey, this is Jordan Haywood, and I listen to Clan Chat.
Chad Rowe taking us through his life and career in ice hockey. Last week, there was great excitement when Matt Haywood revealed the latest player who would be getting involved in his testimonial game in February, and it left a lot of people misty-eyed when it was revealed former number 10 Jordan Kristanovic would be returning to Glasgow. For the newer fans, Jordan joined the club in November 2010 under Bruce Richardson and played for 2.5 years until his departure in 2013. He was the first player with NHL experience to come to what was Brayhead Clan, having played for Colorado Avalanche, and his arrival at the time created quite a buzz. He was a hugely popular player and fans' favourite, as he enjoyed a great partnership with Jade Galbraith in his second season and actually took over as player coach for a spell after predecessor Drew Bannister left in 2012. Jordan and I covered his time here in Glasgow, but I started by asking how it felt knowing he would be returning to Scotland after 7 years in the new year.
Oh, it feels pretty cool, to be honest with you. When I left there, honestly, I never thought I'd get an opportunity to come back and, obviously, when Maddie gave me that call, huge honor, and I'm pretty excited. To be honest, like I said, I didn't really ever think I'd get a chance to come back.
You had a good 2-3 years at the club as well. So many great memories. But you said in the video about your son, for example, born in Scotland as well. It's just going to rekindle so many memories for you, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Like I say, I'm always going to have the bond to Brayhead. My son was born in Paisley, so, that's never going to change. And, getting back there, and like I was telling you earlier, there, the whole family's coming, so my oldest Caden gets to see where he's born. But, definitely, going to all the old spots I went to and seeing everything again after 7 years, I'm sure a lot's changed, but I'm also sure a lot, some stuff is the same around town. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Great. Now you're coming back, of course, for Matt Haywood's testimonial. Talk to me about Matt as a teammate and Matt as a person from your experience of him when you first came here.
Oh, Matty, unbelievable. From the first time I saw Matty in that first, it was a game, my first time I saw, and when I saw Matty right away, I knew there was something there with this kid. At the time, I didn't even really know how young he was, and then obviously Matty and I, we became, pretty good friends with my time there, and, we played on the same line at times, and, he's turned out, like I said, his career's, 10 years for one club is, it's amazing, but it's not surprising to me. Like I said, the first time I saw Matty Haywood, just how he skates and how hard he works and the kind of character and the person he is in the dressing room, I knew that he was going to have a great career. But what he's done has just been amazing.
And as you say, 10 years at the club, he's very much Mr. Clan and the captain as well. Did you see that coming?
I did. You know what? I did. Obviously, when I started talking to Matty this, probably 6 months ago about this whole thing, and then now recently I've started to... followed a little bit, and I did notice Matty's got the C on, and it's obviously well deserved. I mean, my third year there, when I was the player coach there for a little bit, I put the A on Matty that year because I knew he had those qualities, and obviously he's gone on, and to be the captain of that club at now is pretty awesome. And how they're doing this year, top of the standings there, obviously everything's going great there, and it's just awesome for Matty.
Now, talk to me about when you first came to the club. I think, as I recall, you came sort of halfway through the season. What was your first impressions of Glasgow and of Brayhead Clan at the time?
It was, to be honest with you, my time in Glasgow was special. It was awesome. I'd been around Europe, and at the time it was kind of coming towards the end of my career, and I was in all these European countries like Czech Republic, Italy, these places, and a lot of people didn't speak English, so in some of these places it was real, real hard. So, Bruce Richardson was a coach at the time, and him and I played together in the AHL, and, things just fell into place, and, the minute I got there and started living there and everything, I knew that, this was going to be a good spot for me, and, I had 3 great years there, and, I absolutely loved my time there.
So what was it like to play with Jade Galbraith?
Yeah, Galby and I, we had a connection there with Galby. Him and I I knew where he was on the ice, and he knew where I was on the ice. We were two completely different players, but it just worked together. And, that year we had with Drew as a coach, we both of us had phenomenal years. And, like I said, the biggest thing was the connection we had on the ice, and, we just fed off each other and it worked.
Now, looking back on your time at the club, of course, the club never reached the playoffs in your time at the club. Never quite maybe reached the heights I think was hoped for. But what would you say is the biggest memory you would take away from your time in Glasgow on the ice?
Like you say, I mean, honestly, I think probably looking back on it now would be, I think my second year was probably my best year with Drew as a coach. But my first year there, just being the first year the club existed and to see what they've done. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of change. I'm very excited to see everything else. But just to be part of the team in that first inaugural season, I would say that's probably the thing that I would say is the most special to me.
Your third year didn't go maybe quite as well. You started out as the coach. How difficult was that season for you?
Yeah, difficult. Very, very difficult. It was a tough season. Things just didn't go well. Honestly, Craig, to be honest, I don't even really want to get into it anymore because it's so far in the past, but it was a difficult season. Not only was I player and I coach, and I played with all these guys the year before, so to be the coach after playing with them for 2 years before that, it's not an easy situation, and it wasn't an easy situation for me that year. On top of that, my son was born that year there, so I had that. My wife, who was busy, it was a difficult season for me for sure, but I have no regrets.
Now, of course, back to the testimonial in February, have you had a chance to look at the guys that are taking part, read up on some of them, and familiarise yourself with who you're going to be playing alongside?
Yeah, of course I have. I know Matty Keith. He's from where I'm from, so I've known him. We grew up together. He was my brother's age when we played together, so I know Matty Keith quite well. Finner, I know Finner also just from talking, and he's actually from Victoria over here too. So he, yeah, I know Finner. I know both those guys well. And, you know, obviously Sammy, of course, I know Sammy. And then yeah, I never played with Barry McKenzie. I never played with him. And Chris Frank, I never played with him either. But like I said, I know some of those guys pretty well already. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
So tell me about Matt in the dressing room with the guys. You know, my recollection, I always say this to anyone I speak to, he was a young guy, quite shy, you know, quite reserved. Obviously, through time, he came out of his shell a little bit. What was he like with guys like Jade Galbraith in the locker room? Jade was a bit of a character, among others, as well.
Oh, no, you know what? Honestly, great. Like, we had a great group of guys there. I mean, not only, like, you know, on the ice, but... You know, off the ice, like Matty, you know, even a young kid, he'd come out with us. Even like my wife and I at the time, just before we had the kids, we'd all go out together, you know, go bowling, do this and do that. And it's, you know, Matty was always an awesome guy in the dressing room, wicked guy. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I can say about that. But, yeah, we all went out together off the ice, and it's, you know, it was a great team we had there.
And, of course, coming back to Glasgow after 7 years away, are you expecting much in the way of change, not only around the team, of course, but the area as well?
Yeah, I am. Like I said earlier, I'm sure it has. I mean, 7 years, a lot can develop and in the area. But, yeah, and so all these kind of things, Craig, obviously is what I'm super looking forward to, because, you know, I didn't really think I'd get a chance to come back. But to have this opportunity, yeah, I'm sure a lot's changed, and I'm looking forward to seeing the change.
Now, I understand when I spoke to Matt last week, he said to you about getting on Twitter and getting a look at some of the reaction to you coming over. I take it you've had a look at it, and what have you made of it?
Yeah, I have, and it's a pretty special feeling, I'm not going to lie. Some of the, you know, the comments the fans have made, you know, make me feel pretty special, obviously, that, you know, after all this time, they still feel that, you know, highly of me as a player. And, you know, to the fans, I just say, yeah, thank you, because it definitely means a lot to me.
Are you going to be a regular on Twitter now that you're on it?
Well, I've done one tweet. I thank Matty, obviously, for his unbelievable words about me. And but, yes, I'm going to slowly start getting on there. I don't want to get too crazy on Twitter yet, but I'm going to slowly do some tweets. Yeah, good. For sure.
Good man. And I think you said that you've only recently sort of got back and connected with the clan and how they're doing and who they're playing and things like that. What have you made of them from where you are and the viewpoint you have?
Well, I mean, all I can say, just what I've looked at, is where they are. Obviously, they're top of the standings. So, you know, I think everything that I see is they're building towards something pretty special this year. And, yeah, like I said, I've just recently started to follow them again. I've always followed a little bit, you know, but, like, now with all this happening, obviously, I've been following closer. And, yeah, I think this year they could be in for something special.
Now, let's talk about what you've been up to in the last 7 years. I notice, well, at least according to your Elite Prospects page, you've never went back into coaching again. You're quite happy to work with your brothers, as you were saying, as well. What have you done in the last 7 years?
As soon as that year was done for me, that was hockey, that I was done. in a good way. I'd had enough. I had a great career. I was 33. I mean, I was still healthy. I could have continued to play, but... You know, the wife and I bought a house at home, and, you know, we had our son, obviously, so we're busy with that. And I'd already always worked with my brothers. We had worked in construction together, so there was no transition period for me. It was just natural. So it was time, and, yeah, and that year was my last year playing professional. And to be honest with you, I'm on the ice 3 times a week with my kids, but I haven't really played a lot.
So when does the training start for February then, or has it started?
Well, slowly. to be honest with you, the month of January is going to be where I push hard. Obviously, I, let's be honest. In 7 years, clearly I'm not going to be the same player, but I just want to just be able to go out there, honestly, see all the fans, and just enjoy myself. But in January, I'm going to start getting on the ice and playing decently serious hockey to get ready for it.
And just before we wrap up, what does the Purple Army mean to you? As we mentioned earlier, so many good memories from your time here, but what do the crowd and the fans mean to you?
They mean a lot. I mean, they mean a lot. It was, like I said, the last 3 years of my career, but probably, but it was the 3 best years of my career. You know, so the fans with me were always unbelievable. And, you know, looking at Twitter and seeing some of these comments, I, you know, they're still there, and they still, you know, said some really, really great things about me. And yeah, like I said, the Purple Army means a lot, and I'm looking forward to coming back and seeing some of those old faces, and just getting to talk to the people and you know, reminisce about the old times is going to be pretty cool.
Right, so let's get to the last one. I was looking for a match story off you, something that sort of sticks out from your time about him that you can tell us. As I said, bear in mind, this is a family show. So what have you got for us, John?
You know what, honestly, when he wrote that, Craig, I was like, I don't know, I'm working here. To be honest with you, I don't really have one story that sticks out. Like I kind of talked about earlier, the biggest things, you know, we'd have our games Saturday, Sunday nights, and, you know, big groups, 8 to 10 of us, you know, Maddie being a big part of that every time. We'd always go over to the bowling alley, and, you know, we'd by the time we were done bowling on those nights, we'd never be feeling any pain, but we always enjoyed ourselves, like I said, off the ice, and like I said, I don't have just one story about Maddie, there's many, but yeah, he's just an awesome guy.
Out of interest, who won? Who generally won?
It was a mixed bag. Like, it'd be all the myself, Maddie, Kev Phillips, Galby would be there, Ryan Campbell, Bobby Shulman, a bunch of us would always go, but it all depended on the night, I guess.
Hey, this is Matt Hayward, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Former player coach Jordan Krstanovic on his impending return for Matt Hayward's testimonial, and I'm sure I speak on behalf of a lot of people when I say it's good to see him coming back. We're just about done here for this episode, so we'll give you the Clan Conundrum answer first before we send you on your merry way. My question at the start of the show was regarding former Clan goalie Travis Fullerton, who now plays for this Saturday's opponents, Guildford Flames, and last season he made 5 shutouts last season for the Flames, 3 of which were against the Clan. But who were the other 2 teams Fullerton recorded blanks against? The answer is Nottingham Panthers and Manchester Storm. Look out for another Clan Conundrum next time.
Hi, this is Matthew Roy. You're listening to Clan Chat.
That's us for this edition of Clan Chat. So just time to remind you to buy tickets for Saturday's game against Guildford Flames. Face-off 7 p.m, so get those via the Clan website, clanihc.com. Tickets are also still on sale for Matt Hayward's testimonial on Tuesday the 4th of February, and you'll get those on Ticketmaster, but make sure you get yours soon, as they are selling rather well. Clan are also in action on Friday night in the Challenge Cup when they take on Dundee Stars in Dundee in the first leg of their quarter-final tie. At the time of recording, we've no information on a webcast, but if there is, check out Dundee Stars' website or social media for more information on that. For the latest news around the Glasgow Clan, check out the website, and if you haven't yet, don't forget to like the official Facebook page or follow us on Twitter and Instagram at ClanIHC. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify or Audioboom, and the newest episode will download automatically to your device. Please leave a review as well, tell us what you want to hear or generally what you think. All feedback is welcomed. I want to extend my thanks to Martin Grubb, Chad Rau and Jordan Krstanovic for chatting to us this week. And of course, thanks to producer Stuart Priest for another fine job. My biggest thanks are also reserved to you for listening and downloading. And we'll be back soon for more from around the Glasgow Clan. I'm Craig Anderson. Bye for now.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You're due for your biannual cleaning, something you usually forget and would rather not remember. But you just got a reminder from the dentist you look forward to seeing. The Gentle Dentist, the only dentist you're happy to come back to. The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. How can we make you smile? Call 614-431-3311.